2 Corinthians chapter 4. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power of God be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Amen. The Apostle Paul speaks to the believers at Corinth to encourage them in the struggle of their daily life, in the face of persecution, in the face of struggles against the world, the flesh and the devil. And he uses as an example, as an encouragement to them, his own faith, which he reminds them they share with him and with the psalmists of old there in verse 13. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken, which is a quotation from Psalm 116, verse 10. He marries his own faith with the faith of the psalmist and with their faith as well. We all have this same faith, and we today have this faith as well, maybe in a different measure from the Apostle Paul, but it is the same faith which enables us to say, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. And the Apostle Paul says, we also believe, and therefore we speak. We remember, of course, that faith, as we read in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And the faith of Paul here in this portion of the scripture is tremendously strong. And as we examine it, we see the remarkable effect that it has in his life. We see the power of the faith that he has. We see the effect that it has in his life. We see a little glimpse of what living a life of faith does to us, how it helps us. The faith that he has causes him to see the world in a very different way from those who have no eyes of faith. And we see this in verse 18. He says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, temporary, passing, transient, but the things which are not seen are eternal, and they are perpetual. And so he says, when we look at our lives with the eyes of faith, as we should, we don't look on the things that we can see and touch. And that is good, because the things that we see and touch, the things that are everyday physical parts of our lives, are passing and temporary, and they are not important. Not as important as the things which we cannot see with our own physical eyes, but we can see with our faith, the eyes of faith. These are the things which faithful believers, Christians, can see, but the unconverted couldn't. The things which we now see as believers, but which we didn't see before. And Paul says, these are the really important things. The things that you couldn't see before you were saved are actually the permanent, eternal, perpetual things. The things which really matter. And Paul says, now that you have faith, now that you've been saved, now that we all have this same faith that the psalmist has, we can see what really matters. We must set our eyes of faith on these eternal things, because it will change the way that we live day by day. It will make our lives easier in some remarkable ways. If we turn off our eyes of faith and use our physical eyes only to trust in the things which we can see and feel and touch, then we will struggle in the Christian life. Paul fixes his eyes of faith on the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, which has already taken place. And he looks forward to the resurrections which will take place in the future. And he does this in verse 14. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. So he says, God the Father has raised up Jesus Christ in the past. The resurrection is the proof to us of Christ's divinity, and it is also a picture to those who have eyes of faith to see of what will happen to us in the future. As sure as Christ rose from that grave, you and I will rise from the grave, says Paul to the Corinthians, and to us. And so his eyes of faith see his life, and he paints the context in which he is living. He says, there is Christ. He is risen. And we also will rise again. So you see, he's expanded his horizon. Men and women with no faith look to the grave as their end. They look to the great nothingness, the annihilation, or the big conundrum, the question, the dark gap in their knowledge. That is as far as they can look. And because death is frightening to them, they avert their gaze from it. They cannot even look that far. And so they become myopic. They become short-sighted. They will not even look to the end of their lives, let alone beyond. But Paul is different. He looks to the end of his life, and he looks beyond. He looks to the end of history. He looks to the beginning of the eternal day, as it were. He looks to his own resurrection. And that is what we must do with our eyes of faith. We must lift our heads and not just look to the here and now, the trials of today, the aches and pains of today. We must try and lift our minds and our eyes away from that and look to the glorious resurrection which awaits us in the future. Do you see how he sets his life in a context which is different from the context which your colleagues at work, your people in your street, the children in the schools are living their lives by? They live in the here and now. Paul lives in an eternal context, and we must be imitators of him. We must lift up our heads, as I've said, and it will change our perspective. Now, the first effect, if you like, of this living by faith, of this seeing his life in an eternal context, is that it reveals the purpose behind our circumstances. Now, our circumstances in life may be very hard, they may be very painful, but if we can see those circumstances in the eternal context, if we can see the purpose for the circumstances that we were going through, that we are going through, it will help us greatly, just as it did for the Apostle Paul. And this is the first effect. We see it there in verse 15. The effect is to reveal the purpose behind the circumstances of our everyday struggles. For all things, verse 15, are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. So the things that are happening to us, when we see them with the eyes of faith, redound to the glory of God. We have grace poured out in our lives. That is reflected in the thanksgiving of many. When we give thanks and our fellow saints give thanks for what God has done for us. And that is to the glory of God. And of course, to glorify God and to enjoy him forever is the chief end, the chief purpose of man. So the first effect is that we see that our sufferings and our personal circumstances are ultimately to our own good and to the glory of God. And that's a great comfort as we go through difficulties. If we can lay hold with the eyes of faith on this truth, that all that we suffer will ultimately be for the glory of God in this life and in eternity. That is a great balm to salve our agony. If we can see that our suffering will be ultimately for the glory of God, and we know that our ultimate purpose is to glorify God, it will be a comfort to us. The second effect of this seeing life in its context by the eyes of faith is to give strength and encouragement to the believer. When we see our lives in context, when we see God, who is invisible to our naked eyes, when we see him in faith, then we are strengthened and we are encouraged. And this is in verse 16. For which cause we faint not. That means we don't give up. We don't pass out. We don't flop down and give up and throw down our arms and say we retire, we surrender from the fight. No, we do not do that. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. You see, with the eyes of faith, we see our soul being lifted up and being improved and going on this walk of sanctification. With our physical eyes, all we see is the battle being lost. Our bodies are on a downward curve. They are becoming weaker. They are being corrupted. They are going towards the grave. Our strength is diminishing when we look with our physical eyes. When we look with our spiritual eyes, we see the opposite. Our inside, our soul, which we cannot see physically, is actually going up towards God and improving. And so the man who doesn't know God will become depressed and low because he sees that he is destined for the grave, that he is growing old, his hair is falling out. He's turning grey, his teeth are falling out, his strength is departing from him, and he doesn't have the faculties that he once had, and it is a sad sight. But even as we find ourselves in that position, we realise our souls are travelling and journeying up towards God. And so the eyes of faith give us this great strength and encouragement. The third effect is in verse 17, and again, it's to do with context. The eyes of faith see that all that we suffer here in this life is very trivial, in fact, in comparison with the reward that we have in the next life. And Paul says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 18, for I reckon, that is, I add up, that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And he says a very similar thing in verse 17, does he not? For our light affliction, our trivial, trifling affliction, which is but for a moment, working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. We do well to briefly remind ourselves what Paul means when he speaks about a trifling affliction. We find it in chapter 11 of this same book, in verse 23, in labours more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the seas, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things which are without, and that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches, which he sums up as a trifling, light affliction, in comparison with the weight of glory, which eternally will be his. So you see the context that the eyes of faith give him, to minimize and see how truly trifling the very worst and most painful affliction is here in this life in comparison with the blessing and glory that we go to in the next. To live a life of faith, therefore, as Paul did, is to see our lives in the correct context. It is to lift up your head. It is not to feel sorry for yourself. It is to see the purpose for your suffering. It is to see the magnitude of your suffering as it really is, actually quite small. If only we had the eyes of faith that Paul had, our lives would undoubtedly be easier. But we must see our lives in this eternal context. Otherwise we're no different from those who shuffle around in the muck and the detritus of this fallen, passing world, which will ultimately be burnt up. The eternal context, the context of certain victory that we have as the children of God, the context of our destiny, which is to be glorified in heaven. We're designed to glorify God. We are assured of a place in heaven. And of course, if you have that faith, you care less and less for the things of this world and more for the things of eternity. Amen.
Amen.